This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington. Here is what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
Thousands of healthcare workers are going house to house, screening people and looking for this virus.
That was Salim Abdul Karim, one of South Africa's top epidemiologists, on the proactive approach the country has taken to fighting the pandemic. Details coming up. Cameroon plans to release thousands of prisoners due to concerns about the coronavirus. And African immigrants are being barred from entering stores in China. These stories and more ahead on Africa News Tonight. But first, our top story. South Africa remains on lockdown until the end of the month as the government tries to slow infections from COVID-19, with total cases passing 2,500 and at least 34 dead. This, it hopes, will give the health sector time to prepare for a much wider epidemic. Darren Taylor reports from Johannesburg.
One of South Africa's top epidemiologists, Salim Abdul Karim, says the country's response to COVID-19 has been very different from others.
Country after country, they waited for people to get sick and they identified the cases in the hospitals and they dealt with those coming to the hospitals.
The professor heads the group of medical scientists advising the government on strategies to combat coronavirus. To avoid the high infection rates and deaths seen in other parts of the world, Karim says South Africa has chosen to be proactive.
Instead of waiting for them to get to the hospitals, let's go to the community and establish, is the virus spreading in the communities? And if we know about it, then let's deal with it before they come into the hospital. Thousands of healthcare workers are going house to house, screening people and looking for this virus.
Health Minister Zweli Mkhize says a fuller truth of the extent of COVID-19 will emerge once testing is properly rolled out.
We need to test hundreds of thousands of the population to get a better picture to refine our containment strategy.
He says crowded urban townships remain particularly vulnerable to an outbreak.
The lockdown may have the inadvertent effect of limiting access to health facilities for those who depend on the public services in poor and densely populated areas and underserved communities because of transport difficulties.
Mkhize and Karim have the scientific data to prove that South Africa's early lockdown has dramatically slowed the spread of COVID-19. But sooner rather than later, says Karim, the lockdown will have to end and infections, hospitalizations and deaths will spike.
It's hard to imagine a scenario where we would somehow not have an epidemic like everyone else had.
What needs to happen to avoid that storm?
I don't know if you can really avoid it.
Even with all the testing, et cetera, et cetera.
I think you can blunt it. In other words, you can flatten the curve, but I'm not sure you can avoid it. Well, no other country has. So if you were a betting man, put your money on the horse that says we're going to have this epidemic.
The health minister has been even more candid than Karim.
We may be currently experiencing the calm before a heavy and devastating storm.
The state is asking all retired health workers to be ready to help wherever they're needed. And it's asking people to maintain measures such as frequent hand sanitizing and social distancing, even when the lockdown ends. Mkhize says as many infections as possible must be prevented to avoid health facilities from being overwhelmed.
Next month, the flu season will start, thus making more people sick with similar symptoms, with no way of distinguishing common colds from an upsurge of COVID-19 infection. These will flood our hospitals and clinics and create a fertile ground for coronavirus to spread.
Epidemiologists say South Africa's epidemic may only peak in September. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
Cameroon's president has announced steps that will lead to the release of thousands of prisoners due to concerns about the coronavirus spreading in overcrowded facilities. However, separatists fighting for an independent English-speaking state and officials jailed for corruption are excluded. Rights groups also note that Biya's political opponents and journalists critical of his rule will remain behind bars. Moki Edwin Kenzeka reports from Yaoundé.
Since late Wednesday, Cameroon State Radio has read out an order signed by President Paul Biya to decrease crowding in the Central African State's 78 prisons.
The President of the Republic hereby decrees as follows. Article 1. Persons whose sentences have become final as at the date of signature of this decree shall benefit from remission as follows. 1. Commutation of the death sentence to life imprisonment in favor of persons initially sentenced to death.
Under the presidential decision, life sentences are reduced to 25 years. Those for whom life sentences had already been reduced to 25 years will have 5 years taken off their sentences. 10-year sentences will be cut by 3 years. 5-year sentences will be cut by 2 years. And 3-year sentences will be cut by 1 year. Lawyer Luke Kisop, who argues the government's position in corruption and terrorism cases, says not everyone will benefit from the initiative, although Biya has the constitutional power to free whoever he wants.
The constitution authorizes the head of state to commute and remit sentences or convicts. The prerogative rests, therefore, on the head of state to choose who to pardon or who not to pardon. And in this case, certain kinds of offenses have been excluded from those who shall benefit from the measure, like offenses on terrorism, misappropriation of public property, tax fraud, customs fraud, sexual offenses, or offenses which touch on the security of the state.
Others excluded from the order are political prisoners such as Mamadou Mota, vice president of the opposition Cameroon Renaissance Movement Party, who was arrested while protesting the results of the October 2018 presidential election, and separatists fighting for the independence of the English-speaking minority in the majority French-speaking country. Rights activist Njugoy Adu of the Cameroon Center for Democracy and Governance said by messaging app that the 86-year-old Biya has missed an opportunity to make peace with his people.
La surpopulation carcérale.
He says Biya, by not pardoning political prisoners and separatist leaders who realize the coronavirus is bringing people together against a common enemy in COVID-19, has missed an opportunity to reconcile with the people he has ruled with an iron fist for close to 40 years. He says Biya still can make history by ordering the release of people he has declared his enemies just because they do not agree with him remaining in power. Others who will not benefit from the order are Biya's former Prime Minister Ephrem Inoni, ex-Minister of Finance Abba Polycarp, and Jean-Marie Atanganamebara, a former Minister of Higher Education. Some have been jailed for more than a decade. Biya ordered the arrest, saying that they plundered state resources, but their lawyers say they are being punished because they advised Biya to step down as president. The presidential decree does not specify how many people will benefit from the order. The Justice Ministry is now examining prisoners' files. However, Aldo and Kisop said at least 10,000 prisoners may be freed. Cameroon currently has 30,000 prisoners in detention facilities constructed for barely 9,000. Moki Edwin Kinzuka for VOA News, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
More than a decade of Boko Haram militant attacks have displaced more than 2 million Nigerians in the north, with hundreds of thousands living in internally displaced people's camps. Medical experts worry a lack of spacing and good sanitary conditions in camps could promote an outbreak of coronavirus, which has so far infected more than 370 people in Nigeria and killed 10. Ifeoke Tang reports from Jos, Nigeria.
16-year-old Samuel Adamu is sitting in an uncompleted classroom at the House of Rekab, an orphanage for displaced children in Jos, Nigeria. He's holding a weekly Bible study class along with 11 other children living at the home. Although he prefers to say little about it, Adamu himself has been an internally displaced person since 2014, when Boko Haram militants invaded his hometown of Gwoza in Borno State.
I've lost many things. I've killed my loved ones and many other people that I know.
The conflict in Nigeria's northeast forced more than 2 million people to flee their homes, and 850,000 live in IDP camps. According to the United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, half of the camps are overcrowded. Speaking via Skype, Nigerian physician Dr. Enwongo Ime Campbell says residents of the camp are at high risk of getting infected by a huge range of illnesses, including coronavirus.
Conditions such as cholera, conditions such as tuberculosis, pneumonia. And if you put that in the context of the current pandemic in the world right now, which is the COVID-19, that would be a perfect breeding ground for this illness.
The charity Mercy Corps provides humanitarian aid to the IDP camps in Nigeria's northeast. Speaking via Skype, Maxwell Samaila, the agency program manager on humanitarian response, said improving sanitation in the camp is a challenge.
For us to ensure that people actually practice regular hand washing, we need to have hand washing stations and soap, you know, installed and distributed at every location, almost in all the strategic locations, including camps. So, and, you know, with the current, you know, funding, we may not be able to achieve that because already the funds have been earmarked for some other interventions.
Securing enough food for the camps during Nigeria's restrictions on movement and business is another challenge, Samuel Adamu says.
This thing really affects us. The places, they are just locking down the places and we don't know when they will open the place again. So we'll need food items, foodstuffs, so that we'll be able to have food to eat, especially for this period of time.
Nigerian authorities say they are working with the United Nations and other partners to assist IDPs and are also working on providing ventilators, face masks, and personal protective equipment for medical staff in the camps. Ifeoke Tang for VOA News, Jos, Nigeria.
Restrictions on movement have been eased across China, but some African immigrants are facing a different barrier: discrimination. Videos posted on social media, photos and interviews with residents paint a picture of harassment of black residents, particularly in the southern city of Gunazu. African immigrants told VOA they are being barred entrance to stores, detained and singled out to be tested for the coronavirus. VOA's Salem Salamone has the details.
Tensions in Guangzhou escalated on April 7 when authorities announced 16 coronavirus cases among African residents, including a number of community transmissions in an area of the city known as Little Africa. In subsequent days, African residents began to report being evicted from apartments and denied entrance to restaurants, including McDonald's. In one widely shared video, a pregnant woman who appears to be African was denied entry to a hospital where she sought treatment. Although Guangzhou has received the most attention for anti-black sentiment, some students in Wuhan report similar treatment.
Things are getting out of hand here.
racism is going at a high level now, an Ethiopian student in the city of Wuhan told VOA in a text message. I have even experienced it a lot in the past days, he said. Even the people I know before are afraid of me now, said the Ethiopian student in Wuhan, who did not want to be identified for fear of reprisal. The issue has led to a diplomatic discussions. The chairperson of the African Union Commission, Moussa Faki Mahamat, tweeted that he spoke to Chinese Foreign Minister about the concerns. Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesperson Zhou Lijian said, allegations that authorities in China have singled out foreigners are untrue. We are still facing great risks of imported cases of domestic resurgence. Imported cases are causing mounting pressure, he said on Sunday. All foreigners are treated equally. We reject differential treatment and we have zero tolerance for discrimination, he said. Ethiopia's ambassador to China, Tashome Tonga Chanaga, said Chinese officials are appropriately concerned about new cases coming from abroad.
The major challenge has not become import cases. Then there has been some perceptions that some of these cases are coming from Africa, some of these cases are coming from other parts of the world. So in the light of the increasing import cases, I think there has been some serious concern by the government and then, of course, the general public also has avoided.
Speaking to VOA's Amharic service, Janaka also cautioned that appropriate safety measures should not expand to racial targeting.
When this happens, I think, in a sort of a discriminatory approach, when this happens, I think, in a manner that targets a certain communities, and that is how many of the Africans felt that they are being targeted.
But some Africans living and working in China say they are living in fear. A Ghanaian businessman who now lives in Shanghai says many people, especially those in Guangzhou, are worried that there will be a knock at the door, either to evict them or force them to be tested for coronavirus.
It makes no sense. You know, they don't do this to any other skin colors. They just do that to the African, just the African. So what about the white man? What about them? No, they are not. They don't need to be checked. Just the African. And it's like, it's so sad. It's ridiculous. They have this ignorance because of ignorance.
With Ed Ngaramo, Salim Solomon, VOA News, Washington.
You're listening to African News Tonight. I'm Yehiyus Wahib in Washington. Here is a recap of our top stories. Cameroon plans to release thousands of prisoners due to concerns about the coronavirus spreading in overcrowded facilities. And African immigrants are being barred from entering stores and are detained and singled out to be tested for the coronavirus in China. And for more news and information, visit our website at voanews.com. A broad coalition of Kenyan companies has mobilized to quickly manufacture and distribute hand sanitizers, soap, and face masks to millions of urban slum dwellers as a first line of defense against the COVID-19 pandemic. A parallel nationwide campaign will also be rolled to motivate behavior change and inform people about practical immediate measures to stay safe and slow the spread of the deadly coronavirus. From the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, VOA's Ruben Chama reports.
The initiative dubbed Save Hands Kenya is a homegrown blueprint for the particular challenges presented by COVID-19 in Kenya and other developing countries. Andrew Waititu is the initiative's chief executive officer and former managing director of the U.S. conglomerate General Electronics Healthcare for East Africa.
The coalition actually started on the backs of technology companies that are based here in Kenya, people like Jumia, Twiga Foods, Coco Networks, and others that really utilize technology to a large extent. We are starting off with the informal settlements, but we foresee a need of about 10 million liters of soap, 10 million liters of disinfectant, 10 million liters of sanitizer, and we hope to get to those targets by the end of April.
Some say the extreme social distancing measures being implemented globally are very difficult to implement within the African context, where many families live together in crowded shanties. The impact of COVID-19 could therefore be devastating, as Waititu explains.
We obviously live in a different world from many of the first world countries where social distancing may not be possible, especially in the informal settlements where people live in close proximity. We have individuals who must go out every day to look for work, to feed their families. So we firmly believe that use of the sanitization products that we are providing and face masks for each and every Kenyan will go a long way in impacting the spread of COVID-19.
For the 2.5 million slum dwellers in Nairobi, around 60% of the city's population, social distancing isn't a reality, running water isn't available, and self-isolation isn't an option. Dorothy Otieno is a casual laborer who resides in Kibra, one of Africa's largest informal settlements and home to more than 400,000 people. She says, with the spreading of the coronavirus, life in the slum has become very difficult. As a casual laborer, I'm unable to find work, and some employers do not want our services anymore for fear that we might have the infection. And people here have been fighting seriously over relief food supplies. The situation is dire. The first line of defense against the coronavirus is hand washing, which is why Safe Hands Kenya has brought together tech firms, inputs providers, manufacturers, distribution specialists, and community non-governmental organizations. Eric Okwama is the program manager of Shining Hope for Communities, or SHOFCO, a grassroots movement that works in urban slums, providing critical services for all.
We are engaged in this community fight against the COVID-19 pandemic, especially in the informal settlements. In each and every area where we operate, we have community leaders. For example, Kibera, there are 16 villages. We have 32 community leaders in each and every village. And we use our community leaders to go into households. We are going to reach out to 6,400 community households at the end of the day.
The immediate provision of the tools for rapid mass sanitation, soap, hand sanitizer, service disinfectant and face masks, along with the motivation and behavior change education to adopt and use them regularly, is the most effective way to keep people safe and society functioning. Ruben Chama, VOA News, Nairobi.
And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voanews.com. And on behalf of our producer, Mokbili Abaro, I'm Yeheyes Wuhib in Washington, thanking you again for tuning in and choosing The Voice of America.
Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bubu music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Hey, sports fans, brighten your day by tuning into the sunny side of sports Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Sunny and on Twitter at VOA Sunny Sports. Or check out the blog at blogs.voanews.com/sunny. It's the sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.